It's so good to sing the song that is absolutely 100% according to the Word, right? Yeah, wonderful songs. Really enjoyed it. You know, I want to impress everyone that truly the real help can only come from Him who created the heavens and the earth, especially when we are dealing with a church life and the spiritual matters. It doesn't mean that we don't need the help of other people. Of course, if you're doing earthly things, you need the help of other people. But if you are building up God's kingdom, nobody else could help you. No one is qualified to help you. If you're doing heavenly work, only He who created the heavens and the earth is capable to help you. If in doing God's work and building up the church in Quezon City, you're looking unto men for help, you will be in trouble. Then God will say, okay, go ahead. You can look for men's help. And He will let you do that. You know, when Israel turned to Egypt for help, in the Old Testament days, or turning to Assyria for help, or depending on a foreign country for help instead of depending on God. And Israel, during the time of the Old Testament days, is God's kingdom. So can Egypt help build God's kingdom? You think they will do that? They're out to destroy Israel. Can the Palestinians? And at that time in the old days, they are called the Philistines. You think they can help Israel build up their kingdom? Are you kidding me? Right? Can the Assyrians, the Babylonians, help build the kingdom of God, which is Israel? Never. Impossible. So every time in the history of Israel, when Israel turned to other people and other nations for help, God is always angry with them. And those help always turn to disasters. Remember this. It is not written in vain in a Bible. So today we are building God's church, the kingdom of God. Who can help you? Who can help us except the living God Himself? Right? Let me read to you, or let us read together. Psalm 60, okay, let's turn to Psalm 60. Let's just read the few verses in Psalms. Psalm 60, verse 11, since we are there, we might as well. Okay. Where am I? In Psalm 60, is it? Okay, 11, that's right. Let's read it together. Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. For Israel, the kingdom of God, can you imagine? It is God's kingdom, and you turn to man for help. How about that? You think God will be happy about that? Which help is better? Man's help or God's help? For again, I say, for earthly things, yes, you can depend on some people to help you. But for God's kingdom, hey, man's help is useless. Man's help is absolutely useless. Look at the last 2,000 years. What could man do to build up God's church? History tells us it always ends up a disaster. Right? So, remember this word, for the help of men is useless. And what we're talking about is things concerning God's purpose. Okay? Right? So if somebody wants to help you in your business, or if you got sick, don't say, "I don't need a doctor. Doctor's help is useless." No, no, no. You better go and see Lorraine. Her help is not useless. But when it comes to building the church, don't go to Lorraine. Neither come to me, nor to any man. When it comes to building of his church, we all need to go to him. Because only he knows how to help you to build up his church. And so to build up the church, man's help is what, Johann? Remember that. Okay? Because once you depend on the help of man, then that's the end of the church life. Now let's turn to the next verse there in our outline, Psalm 118. Let's go to Psalm 118. Yes, we might as well read these verses to give especially all the young brothers and sisters an impression. Verses 8 and 9. Okay, Johann, would you please read it to us?
It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man.
Amen.
Better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes.
Amen. You see, right? Thank you. Maybe you thought, "Oh, well, he's just a man, so I better trust in princes. They're all the same." Are you going to trust in the president or the mayor and the mayor of Manila? "Oh, I cannot trust in men, but I can trust in the mayor of Manila." How about that? You think he's more trustworthy than any man on the street? And again I say, when it comes to the church life, the church's matter, do not put your confidence in man. In the past 40 years I've seen you put the confidence in man. My, at the end it's going to be a great disaster. Do not put your confidence in men, nor in princes. Now, I have another verse at the end of Psalms 146, right? Verse 3. Again, you can see repeatedly the Word of God here tells us, do not trust in men. Men's help is useless. 146, verse 3. Let's read that together.
Do not put your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help.
Continue, verse 4.
His spirit departs, he returns to this earth. In that very day, his hands perish.
That's right. And verse 5.
Happy is he who has the rod of Jacob for his help,
who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked, he turns upside down. Praise the Lord. How would you like to trust in such a person? Right. So learn to trust in the God who created the heavens and the earth. He is powerful. Right. He is more than qualified to help you. Right. And this is what the psalm is telling us in the Song of Ascents. From the very beginning, in the first step, all the way to the end. Maybe we jumped the gun and we got the last Psalms, the last verse of the last Psalms. What did it say? One 34, the last of the Song of Ascents. Oh, I'm sorry. You all went to Psalm 150. I'm sorry. No, the last of the Song of Ascents. Psalm 134, the last verse. What did it say?
The Lord made heaven and earth. Bless you from Zion.
Oh, bless the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. It's so wonderful. You need to know this wonderful God. So, now let's continue to the next group. Amen. Oh Lord, let's turn back. To Psalm 123, right? Amen. Let's go to the outline. Psalm 123. Now, the title which we gave to this group, the first title is The Initial Experiences of Christ, which is very good, praise the Lord. Now, you have to go to the second group, to be firmly rooted and grounded in Christ. In our outline, it says here, complete dependence upon God's mercy. Now, when you come to the second group and you ascend to Psalm 123, right, let's read it here in Psalm 123. Unto you I lift up my eyes, to you who dwell in the heavens. Praise the Lord. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord, our God, until He has mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease, with the contempt of the proud. Now, in this group of Psalms, it started with, I lift up my eyes to you who dwell in the heavens. Now he has learned not to trust in himself. In the spiritual life, when you grow and you advance, you went on and you ascended to the second steps there, or the second group. In this time, or in this experience, you learn not to trust in yourselves anymore. So in the first group, you see your own condition, right? I hope you realize this. Now, after you've seen your own condition, you cry out to the Lord to help you. And you experience the Lord's help. So you go up to the second group. Now you're a person who learns to trust in Him, to rely on Him. So here I lift up my eyes, not just to look for Him to help you now, but to look for Him to guide you. This is another step in the experience of Christ. You're not just looking for help. Now you realize only the Lord could guide you. So it says in the Psalms, behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress. You know, if you look to the hand of the Lord or your master, It means that now you have learned obedience to Him. You become a servant to the Lord. Looking to the hand of a master means if the master says no, you know, the hand speaks very much. Not just the mouth speaks, but the hand speaks. If you look at my hand and I says, what does it mean? Stop. Many times, if the Lord tells you, if you're a person who observes the hand of the Lord, and the Lord says, what would you do? Just like the policeman in the Manila, right? You know, the traffic policeman. Go this way, go that way. He cannot speak to the drivers, right? He cannot say, stop, stop. Nobody can hear him. He just has to raise up his hand. Now, if you are a driver, Frank, what would you do? Roll over him? If the traffic guy says this, what do? You better stop. Otherwise, you get a ticket. And then if he says, go, and you don't go, you're in trouble too. Right? Meaning to say is that now you are a servant of the Lord and a handmaid, a maid of the Lord, looking at the hand. Meaning to say that now you want to follow the Lord. You learn obedience here. Don't think obedience is simple. No. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, when He was on the earth, He learned obedience. He learned obedience. So, in this stage, when you ascend further in your spiritual life, you learn to follow the Lord. You learn to watch the Lord's hands, meaning to say, you learn to listen to Him and to let Him guide you. If my grandchildren try to do something, I only have to look at him, Emmanuel, and say, he knows what I meant. Just, right? So when the children will pay attention and the parents, right? Or if they are so loud, I go like this. Immediately, they know what I meant. Hey, it means quiet down. Don't shout, don't scream. Right? So, to observe the hand of the Lord means you learn to obey Him, to watch Him closely. You begin to know Him. His signs, you know, when He says, you realize, you say, no, you stop. And many times we don't care. If you don't care, you can just go ahead and do anything you like. That means spiritually you have not ascended. You're still in the first group. Right? There's no obedience. But in your spiritual life, when you grow in your spiritual life, really, you learn to obey the Lord. If the Lord says no, He says, you stop. If the Lord says go ahead, you go ahead. Whatever you do, you look at the Lord. And this is what Paul said in the scriptures here. You observed, Paul did everything by watching the countenance of the Lord. He said, I do this in the presence of the Lord. That means in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Greek word, it means the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means Paul is always watching to see the face of the Lord. If the Lord approves, you know, He approves. If the Lord frowns, you know, right? Or if the Lord... do this, do you? If you watch His face, you will know the Lord says, no, you will not do it. So, In this stage, in Psalm 123, the song of the ascends, you grow to such an extent you learn to watch the face of the Lord. Or if you're a maid, you watch the hand of the mistress. If the mistress says, go, then you go. Right? You do everything according to what the Lord says. Do we do this? You have to learn to watch carefully. You know, many people told me, oh, it's so difficult to know what the Lord's will is. You know why it's so difficult? Because you have never learned to watch His face. Right. You never learned to wait on Him. So here in this group of three psalms, unto you I lift up my eyes. Like the eyes of a servant look to the hand of their masters. Praise the Lord. It is really wonderful. And he says, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us. It's not until he tells us what to do, but until he has mercy on us. Because at this point, you know you need the Lord's mercy. And it is up to the masters to tell you what to do and when he wants to tell you. So you're waiting for the Lord's mercy. That means that, hey, I don't deserve it. So my master can tell me what to do anytime, right? When you pray to the Lord, do you pray to the Lord? Yes, of course. Do you ask for help? Or you ask, Lord, please let me know, should I do this, should I do that? Do you expect the Lord to answer right away? Oh, we would wish to, right? Right? If the Lord waited for 3 days, you can't wait anymore. You say, my goodness, it's already 3 days. I need to know. I want to know. Just like the children, right? If you promise the children to give the children something, my goodness, every day he's going to come and bug you. He couldn't wait. Because he thought, well, that's my right. You have to give me what you promised, right? But no, when you pray to the Lord, you are now a servant, and he is the master. Wait. I always told my grandchildren, teach one Chinese word, deng, deng. So my grandchildren, they all know what it means, deng. And then there's wait. Just wait. To wait patiently. Because the Lord knows the best time to tell you what to do or what to do a certain thing. You don't know the future. But the Lord knows. He knows everything. Right? So you need to learn to wait on Him until He has mercy on us. So don't rush. Don't rush. He is our master, and we are His servants. Learn to wait on the Lord. This is the song of the ascents. Song of ascents. So here, then he continued to say, have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us. Now he experienced in this stage another problem. The problem of pride. Pride. We all have this problem. The pride of life. Right. The Lord hates the proud ones. We have some verses here, right? From 3b. From the contempt of the arrogant. So The proud and the arrogant here. James 4:6, I put in so many verses here to show you. James 6, 1 Peter 5, both say the same thing. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. In our fallen nature, our self, one of the worst characteristics of our fallen self is pride. Don't think pride is a small matter. Pride is terrible. Nothing is more hateful to the Lord than a proud man. So God will resist a proud man. In chapter 1, we have the lying lips and the deceitful tongue and the wild flesh and dark, right? But here, in this stage, you realize the pride of man. So, John mentioned three things concerning loving the world. And what is the world? First, it's the lust of the eyes. Secondly, it's the lust of the flesh. What is the third thing? The pride of life. You may not think that you're proud, but hey, we all have this sickness. Christ is God Himself, but He lowered Himself. Right? In Philippians chapter 2, although He was God, He humbled, He lowered Himself, even not just to become a man, but to become a slave. But we are so fallen, we are so low, and we try to make ourselves so high. And what happened when you're so high? Would you like to be the president of the Philippines? Are you sure? Are you sure you don't like to be? You don't like to sit up there? I'm glad you said no. It's not good to sit up there. When man is lifted up like that, it's not good for any man to be lifted up. No. Because that sickness of yours will really become active when you're sitting up there. If you're down there, that sickness may be dormant. But the higher you go up, then you give that virus in you called the pride. The pride virus, the more you go up. My goodness. Wow. That virus will become active. Because you are feeding it. You're feeding it. So, when you're a poor man, you're very humble. One day you become very successful and become rich. Or richer. You think I made it. Then you become a millionaire. Wow, my goodness. And then you become a billionaire. That virus will eat you up. Really? Don't you believe so? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Then you start to look down on others. What about in the church life? Do you look down on some things? Why do we criticize each other so much in the church life? Well, if I criticize you, that means I'm better than you, right? Otherwise, I won't criticize you. Right? If I criticize Toby, then that means I'm higher than him, although he's taller than I. The Word of God says each one should look at the others as higher than himself. This is the way we'll look at our brothers and sisters in the church life. Never look down on our brothers and sisters. Don't do that. It's not good. If you do that, the Lord is going to look down on you. Yes. Let me read to you just a couple of verses. Let us choose maybe Proverbs. How about that? Shall we choose Proverbs? Let's turn to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, the next book after Psalms. Next book. Chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. Starting in verse 16. There's a little list here what the Lord hates, okay? Now, you may not think the Lord hates, but He does. He does. Who wants to volunteer to read that? Young people, what about who? Yes, please. Amen, Greta. Go ahead. Be bold.
These six things the Lord hates.
What? How many things?
Six.
Oh, but there's one more. It says six plus one in the next verse. Go ahead. Yes.
Yes, seven are an abomination to Him.
Right. Not only He hates, but it's abomination. That means He really dislikes them. Yeah.
A proud look.
What is the first thing? Proud look. Continue.
A lying tongue.
Right. Well, the lying tongues came up there. And?
Hands that shed innocent blood.
Amen.
A heart that devises wicked
plans. Amen.
Feet that are swift in running to evil.
Right.
A false witness who speaks lies.
Amen.
And one who sows discord among brethren.
Yes, these are the seven things. Six plus one. You better remember this, all of you. The first number one in the list is what? A proud look. Don't be proud. Don't be puffed up. Now, so in this stage, in the second stage, now that we have arrived, you'll realize, Lord, deal with my proud heart. Yes. Pride is not good. Especially in God's kingdom, in God's house. No. The Lord looks at the contrite heart and a humble spirit. Don't be proud. Don't be proud. Right. So here, in this stage, on one hand, you learn to look at the hand of the Lord, look at His countenance, look at His face, and you do everything by watching Him. Right? The Lord said one thing when He was on this earth. The Son can do nothing of His own but what He sees the Father do. So the Lord always watches what the Father does. So in the church life, learn to watch what the Lord wants to do. Right? So let's go back to Psalms. I hope we can finish these three Psalms tonight, otherwise we cannot finish. Right? So in this stage, you have Psalm 123. Then you learn to say, now, it's not I, right? If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, they would have swallowed us alive. You know, Israel should humble themselves and realize that my help comes from Him. So the more you experience this, the more you realize that if it had not been for the Lord, many things would have happened to you. You know, we don't realize that today, after so many years, you're still wonderful, healthy, with the blessing of the Lord. You're still going on, praise the Lord. You know why? Not because you're so great, not because you're so intelligent, capable. No, because behind the scene, the Lord is watching over you. Right. Unfortunately, the pride of men took over, and they always say, it is me who did all these things. I remember hearing a man who said, if it had not been for my ministry, where would the churches be today? My goodness. I wouldn't dare say that. I hope you all remember the Psalms. If it had not been the Lord. Who started the church in Quezon City? Schubert? Karina? If it had not been for Karina. Or if it had not been for Brother so-and-so. No, don't say that. So when you come up to this point, now you give the Lord the glory in many things because you realize it is not you. Did not Paul said, it is not I, but Christ. If one day you see Paul and they say, wow, Paul, you are such a great apostle, Paul will hide himself and say, what are you talking about? It is not I who did so many things, but if it had not been the Lord that is helping me, that is indwelling me, if it had not been the Lord that is giving me the strength and the wisdom, if it had not been the Lord, how can I do this? But unfortunately, we all like to steal the credit. At least a little bit. Right? If not 100%, you will take at least 10% credit. How about that? But even if you take 1% credit, the Lord will say, you keep it. It's yours. You think you did it 1%? No. What did the Lord say in a parable of a servant? After he did everything, he should say, Lord, look what I did. Did he say that? No? But okay, Lord, I did whatever you said. Well, now you say, are you happy with it, Lord? Right? Did I do a good job? Did the Lord say that? What did the Lord say? What should that servant say? I'm a what? Profitable servant? Profitable? You should stress the word unprofitable. Don't say so profitable so loud. You should say unprofitable servant. Because it is not you who did it. But you look at so many Christian work. Today, they lift up this person, they lifted up that person, and that person was so happy to be lifted up. And at the end, what happened? You lift up that person more than you lift up Christ. Don't you think this won't happen? If you see such a case there, I will guarantee 100% that cannot be God's work. Because God will not recognize such work. And even in the beginning, if he did it, and at the end you said, you did it, the Lord will say, that's it. It's your work. Then you keep it. I don't want it. Our God is such a God. He will not let any man steal His glory. No. Be wise. Learn not to take any credit, even a small credit. Don't do it. No. Let the Lord reward you when He comes. But today, no. You should learn. Let Israel now say, twice it says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. I really love this verse here. Don't take any credit. Right. Give God all the glory. This is the next step in the Song of Ascents. Then they would have swallowed us alive when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Meaning to say, now it's not just our flesh. Now the whole power of darkness will rise up to stop you from building up the church in Quezon City. Don't think the enemy will say, okay, go ahead and build the church in Quezon City. You know, when the Lord was on this earth to accomplish God's will, do you think all the enemies will just let the Lord do His work in peace? The whole hell, the power of Hades, rose up against the Lord. And at the end, crucified Him. Right? So, we all need to see today, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Now, what did Paul say? If God is for us, who can be against us? Where is it written? I'm going to test you now. All the young people. My young people, you got a good mind. You all went to school. And Lorraine, you studied so many years. Everything was here in your hard disk here. At least you should remember this one verse. I'll give you a hint in Romans 8. Okay, look it up. Great, yeah, with the help of your computer, wonderful. Okay, read it to us.
What then shall we say to these things?
Right.
If God is for us, who can be against?
Continue.
He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?
Continue. To the end. Right.
It is God who justifies.
Right.
Who is He who condemns?
Yes.
It is Christ who died.
Amen.
Furthermore, is also risen.
Right.
Who is even at the right hand of God.
Right.
Who also makes intercessions for us.
Amen.
Who shall separate us from the love of
nothing.
God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness
right.
or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day.
Right.
We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter.
Amen.
Yet in all these things,
we are more than conquerors.
Through Him who loved us.
Amen.
So I am persuaded.
Right.
Death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor
no powers, nor things present, nor things
come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us
from the love of God,
which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wonderful. So who gets the credit? Gigi, who gets the credit? My, our wonderful God gets the credit. Our wonderful God who gets the credit. If we all could have such a view like Paul in Romans chapter 8, and such faith in the living God, then what are you afraid of to build up the church in Quezon City? Charlie? Who is building the church in Quezon City? Right. Now, if we realize it was this wonderful God, then no one can stop the building of the church in Quezon City. I assure you, because this is what God's Word says. So do you saints here in Quezon City have any problem? Any fear? You think it's possible? Even if everything rose up against you in the church life here, they cannot stop God's work. Then verse 6, I like verse 6 in Psalm 124. Blessed be the Lord. Let's read it together. Right? Verse 6 to 8. Amen. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and the earth. Again, our help is who? Praise the Lord. Oh, the Lord really is a merciful God. I can really testify. In all this so many years, the Lord has helped us escape from all kinds of snares. Because the enemy is always trying to trap us. And here, the psalmist compared us to a little bird. You know, a little bird who always gets into a trap. The trappers, the hunters, the fowlers. They're expert in catching birds. You know, the enemy, the power of darkness, is an expert in catching you and me, human beings. They're expert. But here it says, blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. In the past years, we have gone through a lot of troubles and problems and difficulties, challenges, but the Lord has saved us. It's not because we're better than anybody else. It's not because we are more intelligent. It's not because of our strength or anything, but really, the Lord has preserved us and didn't give us to the teeth, you know, the teeth of those beasts, tigers, lions, bears. My goodness, their teeth, they will tear you apart. But the Lord did not give us as prey to their teeth, and our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers, those trappers, right? And the snare is broken. Who can break them? It is God who created the heavens and the earth. And we have escaped. Praise the Lord. We are not escape artists. Don't think you're a Houdini. No, you're not a Houdini. You cannot escape by yourself from the snare of the enemy. But the Lord will really break the snare. Now, when you come to this stage, you are experiencing the help of the Lord in a marvelous way. Then your faith in Him, your trust in the Lord, will be much more than in the first stage. So now, you can say, blessed be the Lord. Amen. Blessed be the Lord. Then we come to the last psalm of this group. What is the result of such an experience with the Lord? Now, those who trust in the Lord are like what? Oh, all of a sudden Mount Zion came up. Now, you become like a mountain, immovable, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. This is really wonderful. Our Christian life should come up to this point. In first stage, you are not immovable. But now in the second stage, your spiritual life becomes so solid, you're like Mount Zion that is immovable. You know, in all these past 50 years, you can see, you can realize my age now. If I said in the past 50 years in the church life, I have seen so many people come and go. For all kinds of reasons. They're not stable. They're movable. In their faith, in their spiritual life, you don't see the stability there, the solidness. You know, the church life must be solid. Paul described in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the church, the house of the living God, he says, is the pillar and base of the truth. The church life should be like a pillar. Huh? You don't have a pillar here. But you know, you do, yeah? Okay, there's a post there, that's right, right? But you know what a pillar is. So solid, immovable. Right? So here, those who trust in the Lord. Now you don't trust in yourselves anymore. You don't trust in yourselves because we are not that solid in ourselves. Now this person who came up to this stage, right, he becomes like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. I really praise the Lord. I saw so many saints in the past years also who are very solid until this very day. You cannot move them. Whatever the challenge could be, however difficult the situation may be, even if you kill them, look at the apostles. Every one of the Lord's apostles were martyrs. You want to take their lives? They said, go ahead. They're immovable. Nothing can change them. Nothing can threaten them because they're so solid. No problems could move them. You just read that, right? You believe that? Yes. I like to read it again because that list is a wonderful list. Romans chapter 8, we are more than conquerors, right? More than conquerors. Oh, Lord Jesus, I really enjoy these verses. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation? No. Distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine, nakedness, peril, sword? No. Right? He says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him. Immovable. Immovable. Today, if problem comes, best thing is go to sleep. Go to sleep. Doesn't matter. For I am persuaded, Paul was really persuaded, neither death nor life. So it's the same. Death or life. For Paul, it doesn't make much difference. Nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. In heavenly places, those evil spirits, he didn't care for them. Nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created things, doesn't matter what it is, the dragon, the serpents, the scorpions, whatever thing, you name it, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Our Lord, I tell the truth in Christ, I am not lying, he says. My conscience bear also witness in the Holy Spirit, bearing me witness. My Paul was so sure and certain in building up the church in Quezon City. Although the number is not big, don't worry about the numbers. You should know who is building it. Not you, not me, not anyone. But he is the one building. You can really see it when you go later to another step further. The next stage of the Song of the Ascends, another three steps. Okay, there are 15 steps all together. So here, praise the Lord. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. My, the church life could be so sure and certain now. Right. Nothing can break through here. Right. For a scepter of the wickedness shall not rest on the land of allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. Now this is an important point here. When the Lord is building up the church life, do not allow the scepter of wickedness to be in the land allotted to the righteous in the church life. We should not allow any unrighteousness to happen in the church life. Why did the Lord use the word scepter? Do you know what a scepter is? What is a scepter? Who holds the scepter? The servant? The king. So that means there is certain authority there. Right. So who is behind that authority of the wicked? Satan, of course. So when wickedness comes in, that means Satan is using his power to influence the church. Don't think, oh, it's just a little wickedness. No, 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 no. Boy, in the past years I've seen in all the churches, you allow the wickedness to come in. My, at the end, it's going to ruin all the churches. And influence even all the elders, and all the elders just so afraid and listen to that. And at the end, it becomes so prevalent, ruling over the churches. So we should not allow that to happen. So it says here, for the scepter of the wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. Don't allow that to happen in the church life. I have seen it happened. And it ruined all the churches at the very end. I have seen it. May the Lord forgive us, and save us, and preserve us, and surround us. Right. Then, now, verse 4, do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside to their crooked ways. No crooked ways in the church life, okay? We don't allow that in the church life. The Lord shall lead them astray with workers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel, amen. So here it's not just praying for peace. Now it's peace be upon Israel. It's a declaration. It's much higher now. You're not just begging or praying for peace. Now you have peace in the church life. And now, Mount Zion is mentioned here. We still have 5 minutes. Mount Zion in the Bible signifies the kingdom of God. It is even stronger than Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem was destroyed, but Mount Zion in the Bible is something else. It is a victorious church life. The city of the great king. Beautiful in elevation. We have that song, right? The joy of the whole earth. My, this is Mount Zion, the city of the great king. This is the church life. You have to see the church life as God's kingdom. Not just a Sunday meeting. No. The church life is not just a place of fellowship. It is called Mount Zion. Right? And quite a few times when I came to Manila, we read together Hebrews chapter 12. Saying that we have come to Mount Zion. Let's read it again to all the saints here, especially the young people. You know, these verses are so important so that all of you young people will change your concept. Church is not just the place you go on every Sunday just to have a meeting there and then go home. No. Amen. Let us read verse 22 to the end. Let me read to you, okay? But you have come to the church life, to Sunday service. You have come to Sunday service. No? You sure? What does your Bible say? You've come to Mount Zion. What is Mount Zion here? The city of the living God. Is it an earthly building? What does it say? The heavenly Jerusalem. The church is not earthly, Greta. It is heavenly. It should be heavenly. Don't think we are building something earthly here. Frank, we are building something very heavenly. It's worthwhile. Right? It's the city of the living God. And here, what was mentioned here is an innumerable company of angels. You don't see them, but because you don't have eyes to see. What do you see in the church life? A few people, right? But you miss to see the innumerable company of angels. Just like in the book of Revelation, my, John saw the throne of God surrounded by 24 angelic angels there, and the four living creatures and innumerable angels there. My goodness. Right. This is really a wonderful sight. And then it says here, comma, okay, it's comma. That means he's not done yet with describing it. And to the what? General Assembly. Oh, the word general is not very good here. It says here, do you have a note? What does it say? What does it say? Huh? Festal gathering. Exactly. We are coming together not to have a Sunday service. We are coming to a festal gathering. You know how big our gathering is? God is there. My, the triune God is there. An innumerable company of the angels are there. And we are also there. Amen. And it's the festal assembly gathering and the church of the firstborn. My goodness, this is really wonderful. That means we are here partaking of the firstborn position of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we are baptized into Him. So Christ being the firstborn If he's the firstborn, how come you're also the firstborn? By being baptized into him. So now you're in the firstborn, so what are you? How many firstborn did God have? A lot?
Only one.
Only one. Exactly. Only one and yet a lot. So both. Your answer is right. A lot, but also only one. So how many? A lot. What? Only one. Only one and a lot. You cannot tell because we are so many, but we are baptized into him and we put on Christ. So it's good for you to be baptized so that you will also partake of the firstborn. A wonderful position. You know, according to the Bible, the being a firstborn, you have two wonderful, wonderful gifts prepared for you. Number one, you will inherit the kingship because you're the firstborn son. Not the second one. The firstborn will get a kingship. You get a crown. And secondly, you get a double portion of the properties. All the rest does only get one portion. But if you're the firstborn, you get two portions. That is why Joseph got two portions. And the kingship went to Judah because Reuben lost his birthright. Now, do you want to lose your birthright? No. Do you want your birthright? Yeah, you better be baptized into him, then you get your birthright. No kidding. Don't think it's a small thing. Wow, my goodness. How did you get into the firstborn? Exactly. So, don't think baptism is a small thing. On top of all the things that we talk about today, I forgot to mention this birthright, exactly, the church of the firstborn. Let's continue, okay? Where am I now? Chapter 12 here. Right, those who are registered in the heavens, praise the Lord. Are you registered? Yeah, please, don't forget. Tell the Lord, hey, I'm registered. And to God himself, he's the most important one in the church life, remember. Who is the most important one? The pastor? Forget it. You know, really, according to the Bible, there is no such position as the pastor. You may say, well, isn't it written in Ephesians chapter 4, he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. I don't know why they call it pastors, but you know, that word means shepherds. But it's anglicized, so it's called pastors. In German, did he say Pastoren? What did he say in German? Hirten. Hirten. That means you're a shepherd. And according to the Bible, the shepherds are the elders. And you cannot just have one elder, otherwise you become the king there. No, you have a group of elders bearing the burden to take care of the sheep. Anyway, that's another story. Don't worry about that now. To God, the judge of all, praise the Lord. And it says at the very end here, in verse 23, to the spirits of just men made perfect. So we have to be in the spirit. Because only if you're a person in the spirit, then the Lord can perfect you. And lastly, it says to Jesus, amen, the mediator of the new covenant. To the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Praise the Lord, right? So then it says, verse 26, I'm going to jump to verse 26. They're all related here, these verses. Yet once more, right, I shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that are things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now, let me tell you. If it is man who builds a church, one day it's going to be shaken and nothing will remain. So, who is building? And what are we building? We should build something that is not shakable. Verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Now, have you or have you not received? Have? How come it says you are receiving? You have received and are still receiving. Because there are more for us to receive. So here the word of God says, we are receiving. Right? When have you been in a church life, Jesse? Yes. How long? 2 years. Have you received? Yes, in the beginning you have received. That's why you're here. But are you still receiving? Oh, yes, of course. So we are still receiving. Don't stop receiving. Once you stop receiving, it's not good. Right? Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now, you say, at this stage, you are a solid, deeply rooted in Christ. You are immovable like Zion. And Zion is the kingdom which cannot be shaken. Don't think the church is a small organization of men. No. The church is God's kingdom. Can you build a kingdom? Are you sure? Of course not. How can you build a kingdom? Can you build another Philippines? You think you can do that? You can build a sari-sari store. Okay, you can build a sari-sari store. You can build Shoe Mart. But you cannot build a kingdom. But today you can see so many churches, so-called churches. So for all the young generation here, I hope you can really see something. The church is not just a meeting or any meeting. The church is God's kingdom. What have we received? We have received an immovable kingdom. That's why you cannot just build the church in any way you like, because this is the kingdom of God. Try to build another kingdom here in the Philippines. Can you do that? Can anyone do that? Would you like to build another kingdom here? Then how come you can build a church? And how many kingdoms are there? People don't think about it. So tonight, I'm not going to share about that. More than what we have seen right now, but in more of the coming steps of the ascents, we are going to see something more about it. Okay? So we finish the second group tonight. Well, that's not too bad. We have to go fast, otherwise we won't reach the top at the end of this conference, right? So may the Lord really open our eyes and see. Amen. So, shall we sing the kingdom song? Do we have the kingdom song number 9?